Hey, Ephesians chapter 3, we'll just get into the word. Also, be praying. We have meetings with Opportunities Unlimited. We're praying about after the first of the year to open up our CE wing to Opportunities Unlimited for a daycare, as well as services to the adults. And so we are in process. We're going to try to keep you informed with what that looks like. But we are, Deb and I, meeting with them this week. So just pray for grace and wisdom as we can serve the community. Also, Tuesday night, thanks for all who gave out candy to a bunch of kids. I think we probably, I would think, had over 100, 150 people show up in 3 or 4 hours. And thank you. Thank you. It was cold, but you showed up. And thank you for helping out. And thanks, Charles and Mylene, for putting that together.
Yes.
And thanks for everyone who helped. So this morning, we're going to read out of the Amplified Version, Ephesians 3, 4. We're almost finished through the prayers of Paul found in first Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3, and it's about transformation. So you can read along in your Bible, you can read up on the screen, but let's just follow Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3. For this reason, grasping the greatness of this plan by which Jews and Gentiles are joined together in Christ, I bow my knees in reverence before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, God, the first and ultimate Father. May he grant you out of the riches of his glory to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through his Spirit in your inner self, indwelling your innermost being and personality, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith. And may you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love, be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints, God's people, the width and length and height and depth of his love, fully experiencing that amazing, endless love, and that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled up throughout your being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. Father, for the next couple minutes, would you open our hearts? I know you are. That we might just recognize through faith that Christ, you are dwelling in us, and there is this settling down. There's this reality of Christ that you're occupying and you're living in us. And that, Lord, these are more than words, more than a prayer, but these are Paul's Holy Spirit inspired heart for the church of Ephesus and for us today, that we might be a people that live in the full measure of God. So, Lord, we just receive words from your word that change and transform us today. In Jesus' name, would everyone please say with me, yes and amen.
Yes, amen.
I like what one author says, when Christ dwells in your heart, when he settles down and feels completely at home, that Christ is settling down. He's just completely at home in our lives, that every area of our life, there's no segment, there's no, this is my work life, this is my family life, this is my personal life, this is my church life, this is my, but in every area of our life, that Christ feels at home in our hearts. And that as he settles down, what happens is this, that we become deeply rooted and securely grounded in his love. That as we just are in this relationship with God, there is this sense of a deep rootedness of his love, that we're not wavering, we're not wondering, but we are just so assured of his love for us, that we are so grounded in his love that we experience this, not just through a head knowledge, but through real life experience, that we know his love. But here's the other thing, because Paul says, it's not only for us individually that we grasp, and that word grasp, I think the NIV has really translated it well. It's not that we just intellectually know this, but we actually experience his love. That grasp means that we have experienced his love to a degree that we are becoming deeply rooted, securely grounded in the love that Christ has for us. But for us to experience the love, it's not just individual, because Paul says it's you, but together with all the saints may be able to grasp. That for us to really experience the love of God, it means that we are part of that process. That for us to really understand the dimensions of God's love, it's not just personal, but it's in community, that you and I experience love because as we are being loved, we are loving each other. And this is what Jesus said in John 13, as I have loved you, love each other. This is my command. 1 John chapter 4, beloved, let us love one another, for love comes from God. So the reality of this is that as we are experiencing and being grounded in the love of God, that love now goes toward each other so that we will experience dimensions of God's love, not only from Him, but from each other.
Amen. Amen.
Wow. Wow. Here's the thing. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 9, He says, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. So Jesus is rooted and established in the love of His Father. In fact, the few times in which a voice from heaven speaks about the Son, the Father says this twice. He says, this is my Son whom I love, with Him I'm well pleased. And then on the Mount of Transfiguration, He says it again. This is my Son whom I love, with Him I'm well pleased. Listen to Him. That the Father was constantly affirming His relationship and His love with His Son. And now Jesus said, as the Father loves me, I love you. Now here's the point. As followers of Christ, we are right now loving people to the degree that we understand the Father's love for us. We need to continually grow. We need to continue to grasp His love, because I'm telling you what, His love, there is so much more of that, right? Have you ever become frustrated with someone? Have you ever become angry with someone? Have you ever become where it's just like, I'm done with you, right? The Father's love is so great and so grand, and we're going to talk about it right here. The dimensions of God's love is so enormous that we all have room to grow, room to experience, and then room to let others experience the Father's love. So Paul, in his prayer, he doesn't pray that we would just get it. He doesn't pray that we would just, I get the Father's love. He doesn't pray that we are people that just absolutely comprehend all the love of God. What he does, his prayer is that we would understand or have an experience of the dimensions of God's love. Because God, who is love, it is so great and so glorious and so grand. There's no way we can fully just comprehend it, but we can put it inside a frame. We can get it by dimensions. And so Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, says, I pray that we would know the width, the length, the height, and the depth of the love of Christ. And these words are not just words are just descriptions. They are Holy Spirit inspired, that you and I might understand the dimensions of Christ's love for each other. And then as Christ's love is rooted and established in us, the width, the height, the length, and the depth of His love is lived out through us to others so that they might experience the love of Christ. So we're going to take a few moments, and we're going to talk about these dimensions. And so start with me. We're going to first of all start with the width. Width or the breadth of God's love. The breadth. Say with me, width. Or breadth. Breath. Almost sounds breath. Breath. Okay. Do you remember last week we sang this old children's hymn? Went like this. Yes, Jesus loves me, right? Yes, Jesus. Okay. We need to add another chorus to that, because we should be singing this as well. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. When we are dealing with, and we got to understand the context of what Paul's writing about, Paul is dealing where there was a lot of turmoil in the church where he established churches. You see it through the book of Acts. Because until Paul came, when the Jews would occupy a city, they would primarily stick to themselves. Their culture, their religion, all their traditions, they would start a synagogue, and so they would go into a city and they would just basically cluster to themselves away from the main body of people of a city. And so wherever they went, you would see these clusters of Jews. Sometimes it would be a large cluster, sometimes it would be a small. Now, Paul comes into a city, and what he does, he begins to preach the gospel, and he would go into the synagogue, and the synagogue, people would say, we want to hear more of this, and he would talk about Christ, and all of a sudden, large amounts of people are coming, Jew and Gentiles. The Jews would get ticked off at Paul, they would try to kill him, and they'd run him out of a city. Because what God was doing during that time, as we read about it, just read about it in the beginning part of the prayer, was God was uniting Jews and Gentiles into one people. And that wasn't just, hey, you're a Gentile, you're a Jew, let's be friends, and they would hug it out. There was some real issues in the churches between Jews and Gentiles getting along. And so Paul recognized, and God understood, that for the Jews and the Gentiles to come together, it would not be based on their history, it would not be based on their traditions, it would not be based on anything else, but upon a deep love.
Amen.
So what the Jews knew was that God, they were God's chosen people, loved by God. But now you got these Gentiles coming into the church, and Paul was saying to all, does the width of God's love extend to someone besides your own nationality? Does God love the Gentiles, Jews, as much as he loves you? Though you've got the tradition, you've got the history, you've got the word, you got all this stuff, does God, the width of God's love, does it go out to the Gentiles? And to the Gentiles who thinks the Jews are just a bunch of religious people following rules and regulations, does the love of God, does the width of God's love extend to the Jews? And the answer is obviously, everyone say with me,
yes.
That this love that Paul was talking about was supposed to extend beyond just that God loves me. It extends to people. It makes space for people that are not like me, who don't look like me, act like me, talk like me, believe like me. It's love. The width of his love is greater than just me and mine. One man said that Sunday mornings in America is the most segregated time of the week. And what he meant was this, that in America, we've got white churches, we've got black churches, we've got Hispanic churches, we've got Asian churches, we got churches for older people, churches for younger people, we got churches for this group, that group, and what we have done, and this, let me just say this, pause, I'm not talking about anybody else, this is Mike's passion, this is Mike's feelings deeply, is that we have segregated church so much that we don't know how to love people that are different than us. So what we do is we take our kids and we say, you go here, and we take our youth and we say, you go here, and we take our seniors and you go here, and if you're single from age 25 to 37, you go here, and if you're married for the first 4 years, you go here. And dear ones, I think we're missing something here. Because I see the church like a family, and I see us gatherings like a family reunion. And when you go to a family reunion, it is a glorious mess. When you had a family reunion, you've got older folks and younger folks and single folks and all these folks, they are getting together, and there's grandma feeding junior so that mom can have a meal without having to stop. You've got teenagers and older folks, and there's this interaction of life, because it's not about segregation, it's about us having a width of God's love, that his love extends so much that even though you are different than I, and even if you're a different place of life, love says, God loves you, I love you, we should be in relationship together. Wouldn't it be cool if during service, kids are kind of running around a little bit? Well, they need to be over here. Well, I get it. There's some, you know, and I get it. There's a place for them to learn. But we've segregated the church so much. And this is Mike, this is me, nobody else. We have things called family night, and we don't do anything with our family. Guys, okay? The width of Christ's love makes space. Now, I'm going to step on toes a little bit, so you guys, you okay? I hope it's okay, but how far does the width of God's love go to? Right? Think about this for a moment. Deb said this to me a couple of weeks ago to talk about making space, and it just resonated within my heart. Making space. That the width of God's love is so grand. Okay, now hang with me for just a moment. Just stay with me. Does his love extend to a man who would rent a truck and run over 8 people in New York City? Does the width of his love go that far? It went to Paul. Saul was a terrorist of his day. Saul was killing Christians, and the width of God's love was so great that it brought Saul into relationship with God. Does the width of God's love go to people who keep breaking promises? It did with Peter. Peter constantly, man, he was right on the verge of greatness, and then he would just blow it. How far does the width of God's love go? Does it go to a lady by the name of Mary Magdalene, who was one of Jesus' supporters and followers, who had 7 demons cast out of her? Does the love of God go to the IRS because he had a tax collector as one of his followers? Does it go to a woman actually caught in the act of adultery, that she is caught and she comes out of the house disheveled, maybe a sheet around her, being thrown before Jesus? And does the width of God's love go to this place where even a woman who just left the very act of adultery is brought before Jesus? Does the width of his love extend to her? Does the width of God's love extend to a man who tried to hack our elections? Does the width of God's love go to a young man who's pretty troubled, who's threatening to nuke our world? How far does the width of God's love go? Does there come a place where we say, you are not worthy of grace? Does there come a place where the width of God's love say, you have gone too far and it doesn't reach you? No. The width of God's love goes to a man who rents a vehicle and runs over 8 people. And something within inside me says, yeah, but he deserves justice. He needs to go to justice, right? Something within us goes, he needs to pay. But do you understand that the width of God's love goes so much beyond us, and it explodes into a world of people who are just awful and evil? How far does the width of God's love go? See, why is that important? Because if we don't understand the width of God's love, then we internally can begin determining who is worthy of grace and who is not worthy of grace. We can see people and say, you're outside of the grip of his love. When Paul is trying to understand Jew, Gentile, man, male, female, Scythian, barbarian, it doesn't matter who you are, that the width of God's love makes space for everybody. You guys are kind of quiet today.
Oh, but it's good.
That we may grasp. Paul says in Ephesians 2, we are all by nature objects of wrath. We all are deserving. We all deserve to be people. We're all children of wrath, but because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, gave us his grace so that we are in relationship with him. And now we are called his children. Now we are seated with him in heavenly places. Now, because the width of his love was so much greater than just, you deserve it, you don't. You deserve it, you don't. So maybe you, like me, you find yourself watching the news and start mumbling about people who have an agenda that's not my agenda. People who are trying to promote an agenda that I am totally against. People that are angry. People that are shouting it out. People who are trying to stop anything of morality. People who are just saying, we got to be heard. You're going to listen to us. You're going to do what we say. Does the width of God's love extend to them? Let's talk about the length. Have you ever heard someone say, man, they went to great lengths to do something? in essence, the effort that was made. They really extended themselves to accomplish something. Well, dear friends, the lengths of the Godhead goes to, for us to grasp their love, is enormous. Are you guys okay? Should I smile when I'm talking to you? Maybe you'll be like a... Oh my, I gotta hurry. I read the Old Testament. I went from Genesis through Malachi because I was seeing God in the Old Testament as just angry. He's just wiping people out. He's just hundreds of thousands of people just getting, he's just men, women, and children. He's just killing everybody. And it's just like, oh, he seems like angry. And then you come to the New Testament and he goes, but I love you. I do. But Old Testament is like, I'm going to, you know. And I read the whole Old Testament because I'm going, God, you can't like flip a switch. You're not like Old Testament God, New Testament God. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what I recognized, dear ones, as I read through the whole Old Testament, I saw the love of God. That God in Genesis chapter 3 made a promise saying that, said, when Adam and Eve sinned, you're going to bruise his heel, he's going to crush his head. So what does God do through the whole Old Testament? God protects a promise he made in Genesis chapter 3. And nations, out of Abraham, there comes Israel, and nations tried to obliterate the nation of Israel. They didn't just want their land, they wanted them dead. And so they tried to obliterate him. So what does God do? He made a promise that a Messiah is coming. So his love says, I'm keeping this promise made in Genesis chapter 3. And so now he fights for the nation of Israel. So armies that were greater than Israel, better technology, stronger, God would fight on their behalf and destroy them. Why? Because they were trying to kill the promise of a Messiah coming. And then the nation of Israel, they would turn to false gods and they would serve foreign gods. And so what would God do? He's got to protect the promise. He's got to protect this. There's going to be a Messiah coming. So what he does is he puts Israel into judgment. He puts Israel into a place where they can't just continue to destroy themselves. He takes them out of the country. He puts them all by themselves because he's got to keep this promise. We're going to be celebrating it in about a month and a half. So God in his love, he's protecting this promise of a Messiah. So God in the Old Testament is not a God of anger. He is a God of love. And he did what he had to do to protect a promise. When Satan inspired nations to destroy Israel, when Israel was imploding themselves, he said, I've got to keep a promise through the line of David from the tribe of Judah. There is a Messiah coming. And because God of his great love, you and I are sitting in church today in a relationship with God because of what he did in the Old Testament out of love. So what we see in Isaiah, here's just two pictures of God demonstrating his love for us, what lengths he went to in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 65, Isaiah the prophet is speaking to the nation of Israel. And listen to what God says to a nation of Israel. God says, I spread out my hands all day long to a rebellious people. That there's Israel is rebelling against God year after year. And God, instead of doing this or this or this, God is like this. I am spreading my hands to all day long to rebellious people. He says this, this people continually provoke me to my face. I've had a few times where people got right up in my face and began provoking me. And I'm telling you what, my first response wasn't like this. Do you want to hug it out? That wasn't my first response. My first response is get out of my face. But God is like this. Look what he says. A people who say to me, keep to yourself. Do not come near me, for I am holier than you. God says to Isaiah the prophet, a people that say, get away from me. I'm holier than you. Don't come near me. And God says all day long, I stretch my hands out to this people. What lengths God goes to for us to know his love. There's a prophet, Hosea. Man, if you want to be a prophet of God, not in the Old Testament. Hosea was ordered by God. Here's what God told him. He said, I want you to go and marry an unfaithful wife. So Hosea marries Gomer. And she is an unfaithful woman. And what God wants to do is this living illustration of a husband who loves an unfaithful wife, that like God loves an unfaithful nation. So Hosea marries her. They begin to have children. He loves her. They have kids, and their names are direct reflections of God's voice to the people of the nation of Israel. So now they've got this family. Hosea loves Gomer. They've got a family. And then what does Gomer do? She leaves Hosea, leaves her family, and goes and starts sleeping with other men. She leaves the security of love and now begins to sleep with other men, to the point now where her life is so destitute that she's being sold into slavery. And if we heard that today, if we heard of a father or a mother who leaves their kids, leaves their home, goes and sleeps with someone else, their life becomes destitute, isn't there something inside us that would like to say, well, they deserve that. No pun intended. They made their bed. Let them lie in it. Something within us goes, look at these kids. Their life's going to be destroyed. Look at this husband. His life will never be the same. And you're just going around sleeping with other men? Well, good luck, man. You're a slave. That's what you deserve. But here's what the father says to Hosea. Go buy her back. You want me to spend money on a woman who is unfaithful to me and to get her out of slavery? Yes, buy her back. And here's what the father says. And love her. Come on, guys, think about that with me. You got a friend whose wife or husband left them. Don't you just get like, oh, man, they just, oh, okay, I'll pray for them because I'm supposed to. But God says to Hosea, buy her back and love her as a demonstration of how I love a nation who's unfaithful to me. What lengths God goes to. What links God goes to? Would you quickly read with me in the New Testament, Romans chapter 5? Would you really, really just Romans 5? Look at this. This is just amazing. Verse 6, you see, just at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. Look at the links. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Wow, listen, we are all deserving of wrath. That's what sin has done. But Jesus took all of our wrath for us so that we don't have to suffer punishment for sin. Look what Paul says here, though. For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more having been reconciled shall we be saved through this life? So here's what it is. In God's view, even those who are his enemies, he's saying, I'm reconciled to you. I forgive you. You don't care. You don't give a rip about me, but I love you. I have reconciled myself to you. That reconciliation is not complete until someone says, Father, I receive your love. Now that reconciliation is complete. But in God's view, God went to great lengths, even to his enemies. Jesus died. Why? Because the length of his love is, I'll do whatever it takes for you to know my love. I got to hurry. There's some more. Stay with me. Height. Stay with me. His love never oppresses. His love never puts us down. His love raises up. His love never, I'm going to just put you under my thumb. You obey the rules. This is the joke I have now. I didn't make the rules. I just enforce them. That we think God is like this rule-making God that he just wants, you know, when I was a kid growing up, it was fun. It was sin, right? If it was any kind of fun, then it was sin, so stop doing it. The reality of God is he never oppresses. He never puts down. God's love always raises us up. There's a woman by the name of Hannah. I got to hurry. Hannah, 1 Samuel, she couldn't have a child. the other wife of her husband. She was having kids all the time, mocking Hannah, making fun of her. And Hannah finally comes and says, give me children or I'll die. And God, in his great mercy, gave her Samuel, one of the greatest prophets, the greatest judges of the nation of Israel. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2, we just have a portion of her prayer to God and how she sees God. And listen to what she says about the Father. She says, he raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. King James Version calls it the dunghill. Here's what God does. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. He sits them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. God's love is not oppressive. God's love is lifting. God's love raises us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, God has raised us up into the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus and has seated us next to him on a throne of honor. Amen. That God is his children. We are all children of wrath. We are all the poor. We are all the needy without Christ. And God says, I'm taking you and I'm going to lift you up. Amen. To the height of my love. Can somebody say yes and amen to that? Listen, Josh Groban, he sang this song a number of years ago. It could be a church anthem, but listen to the words. He sang this song, when I am down and oh, my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. The height of God's love. This is not the American version where we're greater than, we're better than. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a love that elevates us from the poor, the needy, the lost, the decrepit, the awful people, to where we're seated with Christ in heavenly realms. That when God looks at us, we're at equal footing. We're not Jesus, understand. But because we're his children, we have equal access to the Father. Amen. Because his love raises. Amen. If you feel like you're oppressed, oh God, that I might grasp how the height of your love. Yes. Oh my. Listen, we're not stuck in our past. We're not limited by whatever dysfunction from our family of origin. We don't resign ourselves to whatever life has. We are not limited by our society, our labels, and we're not limited by your male or female, if you grew up in Lewiston or Clarkson, if you grew up in we're not limited by labels at all, because his love, the height of his love always lifts up. Always raises, always brings us higher. And the depth. We live in a time of shallow relationships, eh? You offend me, I'm unfriending you from Facebook. We walk away, we cut off, we just easy in, easy out. But aren't you grateful that God is not easy in, easy out? As I was prepping for this week, I felt like someone needed to hear this. And so I don't know who you are, and if it resonates within your heart, just receive it from the word from the Lord. God says to you, I'm all in with you. I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm not flaky. I'm in. I'm saying yes to you. When life gets difficult, I'm all in. When you don't feel good, I'm all in. When life is a challenge, I'm all in. That God doesn't ever one time say, I've got a shallow relationship. When life gets better, I'll be back. When you kind of figure things out, I'm back. God says, even in the midst of your adversity, I'm all in. In John chapter 18, Jesus is about to go through the greatest torture mentally, emotionally, physically, a human being will ever go through spiritually. And the mob comes at night and their faces are shrouded by the light and they've got swords and clubs. And Jesus said, I've been teaching in the temple. Now you're coming to me at swords and clubs at night. And they come and Judas gives them a kiss. And Jesus said, if you're after me, listen, let these men go. That even in the midst of the most terrifying, difficult time of Jesus' life, Jesus was still thinking about his men. Let these guys go. Judas comes, gives a kiss. The disciples are going, it's Judas. And I speculate just how my mind works. I wonder if Peter was going after Judas with a sword. Miss, Judas ducks, hits Malchus and cuts his ear off. I don't know. But they're upset with Judas because they betrayed Jesus. Well, guess what? They're about to betray Jesus as well. And what does Jesus do? I'm out. Listen, man, I spent 3.5 years. I tried. I gave it my best. I am done with you guys. If it wasn't that I have to go to heaven, I'd start all over and find another 12. Thank you, Deb. What does Jesus do? He appears to them when they're locked up in a room. Says, here, come on. Peter goes, let's go back to our old lifestyle. Let's go back to fishing. Let's go back. What does Jesus do? Friends, have you caught any fish? Hey, throw your net on the other side. They haul in this 153 large fish. Hey, come, bring him. Let's have breakfast. What is Jesus doing? The depth of his love, he's all in with you and I. Amen. He never quits. Hebrews 13:5 says, we have a promise. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. That God, because of the depth of his love for you, is all in. He never quits loving you. Listen, as we express the width, the height, the length, and the depth of God's love toward each other, we get to actually experience the love of God. That we get to see in action the dimensions of God's love. Where does that take place? It takes place in the inner person. It takes place here. Because isn't love patient? Doesn't love, one of the fruits of the Spirit is long suffering? Do we have the kind of love that extends to people that might believe totally different than we do, who might think of life totally different than we do, but does our love extend to them? Do we go to great lengths to love people? Is there a love that brings people up? Do we speak life to people? When they come, do we say, hey man, here's what I see in you. I see this. Does our words bring people up? And does our life have a depth to it saying, hey, listen, man, I'm all in. I had some guys meet with me for prayer today and in my office, and I just told them, I said, you know what? You guys, we've been in relationship for a long time. Thank you. Thank you. Because there's a depth to it. And dear family, our friends, our world, our society, it's not mystical. It's not pie in the sky. It's as Christ dwells in our hearts through faith, we become rooted and established in love. And now we as individuals and all together, we grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, that we actually experience it from him, and then we give it to each other and to our world. Amen. Is it costly? Definitely. Is it awkward? Yeah. Is it messy? Sure is. But I've had to repent before the Lord, mumblings I've had in my heart where I read or I watch or I see someone who's just, I don't agree with them at all. And I've got this mumbling going in my heart. Oh God, just send your something on them. You know, whack them, give them a wackadoo, God. And the Father's like, Mike, it's the inward spot that needs to be transformed. Here. And my prayer for all of us is that we experience and live out the width, the length, the height, and the depth of God's love. Mike, I'm not even close. That's right. We all are growing. we're all being transformed. So I kept you over 9 minutes. I'll take it out of next Sunday. Stuart Townsend in 2009 wrote a song, a hymn for the church. Guys, can you, Isaac, do you have that just real quick to finish? Just the first verse. Can you do that? Can you pull it up? One second, I got one finger. Number one. He wrote this song, "How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That he would send," keep going, "that he should give his only son. I'm the wretch." Can I be honest? You're the wretch. What does he do? He lifts us up, and now we're his treasure. Unbelievable. That's unbelievable. That's amazing. That we are God's treasure. And this morning, if you're having difficulty, the width of his love, seeing people through the eyes of love extended, Paul says, I pray for you. Pray for yourself. If you're having trouble understanding the length of his love, all that he has done, the length extended to reach you in love, Paul prayed, pray for yourself. If you're having difficulty recognizing the height of God's love, that God doesn't oppress, but God lifts you up because he is so in love with you. It's like a dad taking their child and just going, yeah, that's what his love does. He takes us from here and he lifts us up like that. And the depth of his love where he says, I'm all in. You know what? Do your best. Try to run from me. I'm all in. Try to tell me you don't love me anymore. I'm all in. Tell me that you don't care about me. You're not real. I'm all in. Because the depth of his love is that I don't quit loving you. I'm amazed. What's the next verse, Isaac? Then we'll go home. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Amen. Daughters, that's you too. Stand with me if you will. Would you just close your eyes for just a moment longer? Father, I really did my best. But there's so much more. Words are not adequate to describe your love for us. Holy Spirit, that we may all grasp, not intellectually know something, but that we might experience it. I'm asking right now, Holy Spirit, that you would just reveal this to all of our hearts, the width, the length, the height, and the depth of the love of Christ. That something would resonate within us, the truth of your love, and that the roots of your love would go so deeply into our hearts, and the solid founding and grounding of your love would be so established that nothing will ever separate us from your love. Nothing. Nothing And Lord, in Jesus' name, I recognize that all I can do is just do my best to proclaim, but it's your role, Holy Spirit, to just breathe upon the Word of God and make it so real to our hearts in the inner person that even our mumblings come out as love. Even those words that no one else can hear come out as, oh, there's the width of his love right there. There it is. There's the height. Look at it. Look at the length of his love. Look at the depth, that we are in awe of the dimensions of your love for everyone. For I am convinced that neither height nor depth, nor angels nor demons, nor hardships or troubles, nor anything in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And let that love, Lord, now be extended. Let us make space. For everyone needs your love. In the name of Jesus. Would you just say with me today, and we're done. Father, today I receive your love.
Father, today I receive your love.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Could you extend love to someone right now? Could you extend that to somebody? Okay. Do that right now. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Thanks for your patience.